Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And a happy second day of August, 2005. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you joined us this morning. Hope we're going to make your day a little brighter and we're going to help you think a little deeper. That's the purpose of this program. And it's a great talk radio show where we look forward to receiving your phone calls today at 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177 or 864-201-6955. And right now we're going to give you your upstate weather.
Right now in Greenville Spartanburg Airport area, it's 70 degrees. In downtown area, it's 70 degrees. Anderson, 69. And Clemson, also 69. Today is going to be partly cloudy and patchy fog this morning. Highs in the lower 90s and northeast winds around 5 miles per hour.
And we have a lot of political bantering going on about recess appointments not being unique on Fox News. The newly placed ambassador to the United Nations is neither unique nor necessary politically and diplomatically hamstrung as a recess appointee. And they're trying to justify the behavior. This, of course, you know that Bush is just picking his fair-haired boys, his cronies, and putting them where he wants them to be. What else would a powerful ruler do? I mean, we shouldn't be surprised by any of this. At any rate, there's also a headline about intelligent design, which is somewhat interesting. Of course, this is from yesterday, but it says, President Bush said Monday he believes schools should discuss intelligent design alongside evolution when teaching students about the creation of life. During a roundtable interview with reporters from five Texas newspapers, Bush declined to go into detail on his personal views on the origin of life, but he said students should learn about both ideas, Knight Ritter's newspaper has reported. I think that part of education is to expose people to different schools of thought, Bush said. You're asking me whether or not people ought to be exposed to different ideas, and the answer is yes. The theory of intelligent design says life on Earth is too complex to have developed through evolution, implying that a higher power must have had a hand in creation. Christian conservatives, a substantial part of Bush's voting base, have been pushing for the teaching of intelligent design in public schools. Scientists have rejected the idea as an attempt to force religion into science education. On other topics during the interview, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, that reminds me of the Uncommon Dissent Forum that's coming up. You're cordially invited to hear leading scientists present the latest evidence regarding Darwin's speculations, August 4th, 5th, and 6th at the Palmetto Expo Center here in Greenville, South Carolina. Darwin is quoted as saying, I am quite conscious that my speculations run beyond the bounds of true science. That's what he said. And lecturers are going to include Michael Behe, Dr. John Campbell, Jonathan Wells, Thomas Woodward, all doctors who've written books on stuff. And $145 is the cost. If you write CSG on the form, it comes down to $125. And if you're a teacher or student, it goes from $115, I suppose, down to $85. If you want to register for the event, you either go to PiedmontTravel.com. That's PiedmontTravel.com. Or you click on UNOLA, UNOIA, E-U-N-O-I-A. Or call 864-288-3456. That's 864-288-3456. Also want to give a quick reminder that the Tyranny Response Network is a volunteer-run station, and we're currently looking for volunteers to help with technical projects, with simple ditch-digging projects, whatever else it might be that they're useful for, are you being looking for needs for now, I guess, at the staff level. If you can donate just a few hours a week or a weekend a month or something like that to the great cause of the Tyranny Response Network, we would really be glad to hear from you. You might give Chuck a call this morning at 458-1981, that's 458-1981, or simply go to the tyrannyresponse.com website and click on the Contacts tab, and there's a number of email links there. Send somebody an email and let them know you're interested. We also need people to produce some shows coming up, especially if you're a constitutionalist, and we want to support Pastor Tony Romo, who's going to be on the show beginning next week. the entire week while I'm away. Tony Romo's going to need some help producing. I believe you also have some need some help producing for the creation studies that are going to be coming up when Greg Ferrier will be hosting the show, guest hosting the show while in my absence the week after Tony Romo. So if you're interested in helping produce the show and can do so on short notice, please do give us give somebody a shout today. Again, try Chuck at 864-458-1981. Or you can also try the one of the links on the website, tyrannyresponse.com, under the contacts section. Be really glad to hear from you folks, and look forward to having a good show today and a good show the rest of the week. You know, what I'm thinking about doing is actually having a Spanish language show. Si yo puedo hablar en español un poquito, entonces, you get the idea. We might even be able to have a Christian Worldview in Spanish this week. Not at the same hour, obviously. There's a lot of people who are not familiar with the Spanish language. It wouldn't be profitable to do during our regular show time. But yes, we're thinking about doing something about the theology of public policy from a Christian worldview point of view sometime this week. Probably it will be on Thursday and Friday mornings, both mornings, and will probably occur, well, it'll probably occur for a half hour right after the Christian Worldview show. So we're looking forward to possibly doing that, those two shows, and if you are interested, we'd be glad to hear from you and support and to tell people about it. So in fact, we should just set a date here for Thursday and Friday, 9 to 9:45 or 9:30, something like that. We'll have a special edition of Christian Worldview in Spanish for those folks you might know who speak Spanish and want to hear something about the Christian theology of public policy. We're going to be talking about this issue. I'm going to be talking about this issue in a lecture I'm going to give on free markets, Bible, and government in Lima, Peru. That's why I'm going to be away. I'll be a little bit of vacation, but also be doing a major conference in South America. So I'll be down there trying to help out with that great cause there and the cause of truth and liberty and for an enslaved people as they are, much like we are in America, but even more so in South America. So at any rate, that's on the agenda for the future. We hope that we can hear from you, and just to give us a heads up or a nod of approval that you and for your help in finding folks to go ahead and listen to the show for those 2 days, 9 to 9:45 on Thursday and Friday this week. Well, what else do we have going on in the news? Well, I got a card from the Cato Institute from Ed Crane, talking points on Social Security. Ed Crane, of course, is the president of the free market Cato Institute in Washington, and he's advocated personal retirement accounts since the 1980s. He calls President Bush heroically bold, but he's being politically opportunistic, perhaps, for selling Social Security reform. But he recently wrote, "It seems to me Bush has been somewhat timid." Rather than focus on boring, not to say uninspiring, matters such as long-term solvency, Crane stresses more exciting benefits of personal retirement accounts, ownership choice, and flexibility. He says, for example, ownership. The 1960 Supreme Court case Fleming versus Nestor explicitly says that Americans have no ownership rights to the money they pay into Social Security. It is, the court ruled, a social program of Congress with absolutely no contractual obligations. What you get back at retirement, indeed, when you can retire and receive benefits, is entirely up to the 535 members of Congress. Where is the dignity of such a system? Owning your own retirement assets means the pride one has in having provided for his own retirement and the security of knowing the government can't take the money away. Of course, Social Security, all of us who have studied economics realize, is no different than welfare. There is no fund that's been set up for you or that you will receive at some point in the future. All the Social Security is a Ponzi scheme, or what Walter Williams calls correctly intergenerational holdup. You actually have one person giving to another person. If you're going to retire, you're going to be stealing from somebody else who is working. That's how welfare works, and that's what Social Security is. And you say, well, I paid in for all these years. You didn't really pay in any more than you paid into the income tax system or a sales tax or a property tax. You don't get anything back for that. It's just taken from you and given to other people. We have a government that effectively runs budget deficits most of the time, and all of the money that goes in is spent. So don't delude yourself into believing there's some retirement fund there set up for you, and that's what Crane's pointing out. The courts even said this is not a retirement system. This is a Ponzi scheme, a welfare transfer system, part of the welfare state, no different than food stamps or receiving a student grant to attend college. any rate, he talks about there should be choice and there should be inheritability. You should be able to give your retirement to heirs in case you die or, you know, before you can collect on it and stuff like that. And it's good points, a very politically expedient card. At any rate, you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back in just a minute.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
If the state sets itself up as the supreme arbiter of human affairs, it must domesticate the individual, lest any lingering remnants of self-reliance weaken the state's authority. The state must resist the individual's effort to follow the dictates of his conscience, lest they conflict with the decrees of Caesar. In the interest of its own safety, the state must eventually deny that the individual is a person, for the individual can be a person only when he puts his obligation to God ahead of his obligation to Caesar. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in the Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 145.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview. Gun control and large standing armies, that was Hitler's mantra, and Clinton's. The only security that provides is for the dictator. That's Michael Pierce writing, and he fought with the Rhodesian Freedom Fighters also, on the Ian Smith side, of course. Interesting. Let's read that quote again. Gun control and large standing armies, that was Hitler's mantra and Clinton's. The only security that provides is for the dictator. Don't you think that's true? I mean, the only people that actually really gain from gun control are not citizens, but the government or the state. They love it. Airport Insecurity. This is by Walter Block, posted on LouRockwell.com. A couple things here worth discussing, I think. Last week I took an airplane from Vancouver to Atlanta to give some lectures at the Mises Institute. I took a cab to the airport since I would be away for the summer home for over two weeks, and this would be cheaper than parking the car at the airport for all that time. I had in my possession a letter with a Canadian stamp on it that I really wanted to get out into the socialist mail system. I had intended to mail it the day before, but the rush of traveling, I'd forgotten all about it until I arrived at the airport. Happily, there was a post office box right there at the airport, and I dropped the letter into it. But then a thought occurred to me. This facility was one of those where you pull down a little door-like contraption, put the letter in, close the door to make sure the letter was indeed posted, and then close it one time. Although I only place in it a thin letter, the opening was wide enough to mail off a package of a size sufficient to hold 3 or 4 hardcover books, or maybe a half dozen paperbacks. Whereupon it suddenly hit me, far more disquieting. The opening was sufficient, more than sufficient, for a terrorist to place a bomb, a reasonably big one, into a container. He would not have to commit suicide to do so. A weight of explosives small enough to fit into that opening could have done a powerful lot of damage, murdering dozens, if not scores, of people in a crowded airport. Time to explode 10 minutes later, the perpetrator could have gotten off scot-free. I then noticed something else. I thought I had to ask directions for a location to the post office box. The same was not true of trash cans. They were literally all over the place, in plain sight, dozens of them placed every 20 yards or so, as far as the eye could see. Each of them in this particular airport had a circular hole at the top, measuring more than my hand span, about 8 inches. These were, in effect, an open invitation to our friends from a terrorist community. I thought about sharing this information with any one of the myriad of guards, busybodies, uniformed gropers, policemen, checkers, x-ray people who infest a modern airport. I did not do so for several reasons. One, although I had plenty of time before my scheduled departure, one of the conveniences of modern air travel is that you don't have to waste an inordinate amount of time arriving early. I anticipated the reaction of any of these worthies to whom I might confide my apprehensions about post office boxes and waste receptacles, along with the following lines: "Come with us, please." Whereupon I would have been detained for hours at best, and days in jail at worst, for intensive questioning. "What business are you in? Have you ever published or said anything critical of the government?" "Me? Certainly not." Might not have been able to withstand even the most cursory of scrutiny in such circumstances. "Why are you so concerned about bombing? Are you a terrorist? Do you know anyone from Iraq? Do you profess the Muslim faith?" As I say, speaking up in this public-spirited way would have made me miss the plane, or worse. Instead, I'd started writing up this column in the airport while awaiting my departure. Paranoid that I am now keeping my eyes peeled for shifty-looking characters putting packages in waste cans, there being no post office boxes in sight. I'm not worried about them. I'm also worried about minions of the state. I'm also busily looking over my shoulder as I write, making sure no one is looking at what I write, attempting to decipher my handwriting. I write by hand in airports, and later type up what I've written. But here I am relatively safe. I can barely read my own handwriting. Then, too, there is something of off-putting to me about aiding and abetting these inept airport guardians of ours. They are agents of an institution Spooner has called a band of murderers and thieves. While I have no doubt that were I to see one of them drowning, I would toss him a life raft. Heck, I'm an excellent swimmer with lifeguard training. I would probably jump in to save him, even at some risk to my own life. I would do so only out of appreciation of our common humanity. I would do so despite his role as an agent of the state apparatus. Here did I but make any suggestion to the police about postal boxes and trash cans being an invitation to terrorists, I would have been helping them in precisely this role, as I say, off-putting. Why are these morons so stupid? Why do our protectors pat us down and search for, of all things, nail clippers? Why do they adopt the identical procedures at every airport? Do they not realize that this makes it easier for the bad guys? Why do they act so as to make it prudent for us to get to the airport 2 hours before flight, wasting zillions of man hours? Why don't they focus their attention on young men of Arabic appearance who have been responsible for a very high proportion of all such incidents? This is surely due to a combination of political correctness run amok and a monopoly operation as to the former. I once, in a benighted mood, thought it would disappear under the pressure of life and death situations. Not so, not so. The evil Red Cross accepted blood donations from homosexuals without testing them for fear of offending them, and thereby infected with the AIDS virus hundreds of hapless and trusting hemophiliacs. And now the forces of political correctness would rather see innocence blown to smithereens rather than engage in eminently justified racial, sexual, and age profiling. As it happens, however, looking askance at young male Arabs in airports and other such sensitive places is no such thing. It is rather criminal profiling. It would only be racial profiling if inspectors subjected to heightened security, say, Arab grandmothers, who will not have at all been linked to terrorist acts. Why do airport security guards target young, attractive women? Okay, we all know the answer to that one. The other element is lack of competition. Why is this so important? Well, there are imbeciles also in the private sector in the economy. Grocers who don't wash their floors, filling stations located in cul-de-sacs, restaurants whose chefs cannot cook their way out of a paper bag. But what happens with such ineptitude? The market system of profit and loss, of weeding out firms that cannot cut the mustard, is a difference between two very, very different sectors of the economy. Idiocy in the private sector exists, but is continually being pared away. No fail-safe mechanism underlies the supports that supports government enterprise. Imagine if safety protection in airports were run under a free market sector. One firm, the Acme Agency, paid great attention to nail clippers and black grandmothers, but ignored garbage cans and Arab males of a certain age. There's a name for such companies, and the name is bankrupt. They would be eliminated forthwith through the competitive process. It does not matter that our Homeland Security people wear uniforms or pass civil service types of exams where they answer theoretical questions theoretically, or are forced to attend training sessions where they see films or past events. There is simply no automatic mechanism to continually improve quality, as occurs every day in the market. As every day in the marketplace, we do not owe our reasonably good pizza, shoes, and bicycles to geniuses, rather to this weeding out system. The people supposedly protecting us from terrorists at airports are cut from the same cloth as those who monitor motor vehicle bureaus, the post office, and the alphabet soup regulatory agencies. Try reasoning with the denizens of these organizations. I do not say that nothing will ever be done about potential dangers posed by receptacles at airports. Even without a market system, common sense may yet prevail, but don't hold your breath. And I'm going to go ahead and stop reading that article there. We're over for a break. Interesting article by Walter Block, and I think he makes some pretty good points. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Cobra. We're going to be back after a few minutes. I want you to listen to the Bill of Rights here as we go to this break and think about those rights instead of the ones that are taken away by the Patriot Act and its various cronies.
Hello, this is Dr. John Cobra. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of Policy. Hello, this is Dr. John Cobin. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. The Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
There is a place for government in the affairs of men, and our Declaration of Independence tells us precisely what that is. The role of government is to protect individuals in their God-given individual rights. Freedom is the natural birthright of man, but all that government can do in behalf of freedom is to let the individual alone, and it should secure him his rights by making others let him alone. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 142.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net, that's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And did you know the Pentagon is to increase domestic surveillance for counterterrorism? This is from Fox News. Kelly Becaur-Vlaho says, the Department of Defense has developed a new strategy in counterterrorism that would increase military activities on American soil, particularly in the area of intelligence gathering. The move is sparking concern among civil liberty advocates and those who fear an encroaching military role in domestic law enforcement. An argument that eerily foreshadowed the July London terror attacks, the Pentagon in late June announced its strategy for homeland defense and support, which would expand its reach domestically to prevent enemy attacks aimed at Americans here at home. The strategy approved by the Deputy Defense Secretary Gordon England on June 24th argues that the government needs a multi-layered, unconventional enemy that will attack from everywhere, anytime. By any conceivable means. Well, this is a scary thought, isn't it? So now we have the Pentagon going out of their way to get involved here with fighting on American soil. And more power to the Pentagon. Well, this is another scary feature of the Patriot Act we're concerned about here at Christian Worldview. I want to remind you that this Saturday we have the Carolina Patriots meeting from 12:30, when lunch begins, and at 1 o'clock the actual program begins, until 3 o'clock. It'll be held at the Prime Sirloin on Woodruff Road across from the Greenville Mall. Hope you can attend that very good meeting for the Carolina Patriots. As always, all the great events of the Upstate are located on the tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net website. And if you go to tyrannyresponse.com, you can scroll down to the bottom of the events tab and you'll see all the calendar that Rip and Richie has done. Except I noticed Rip and Richie has missed the Constitution Party meeting this on the 18th. That's missing off of the calendar. Probably because it once again conflicts with the League of the South meeting. Not sure why they did schedule it to conflict, but they did. So there's a conflicting meeting once again this month. Hopefully that'll be rectified before too long, and they'll move it to the first Thursday of the month instead of the third. Anyway, you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're time for, believe it or not, the top of the hour break, and we'll be back in a couple minutes.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
As long as the state, the agency of coercion, stands over society offering to dispense economic privilege to those who pay it homage, conferring an advantage on some men at the expense of other men, the misuse of political power should be the first line of attack for the moralist. It is inevitable that political privilege will be used in this way if it is available and begging to be used. No people has ever resisted it who have been led into this temptation. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in the Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 84.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview. Glad you've listened this morning. Glad you've joined us for another great edition of the best talk radio in the upstate of South Carolina. Let's have a look at our weather real quickly.
Right now in the Greenville-Spartanburg Airport area, it's 71 degrees. Downtown, also 71 degrees. Anderson, also 71. And Clemson, also 71, unbelievably. Today, partly cloudy, patchy fog this morning. Highs in the lower 90s and northeast winds around 5 miles per hour.
And that sounds like a nice warm day. Good thing to get high, go hide in your cubicle, as many of us will be doing shortly, or your offices, wherever they may be, with that climate-controlled air conditioning. Wonderful stuff. We have a caller on the line. We'd like to go to the phone lines right away. Welcome to Christian Worldview. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, good morning. This is Chuck.
Hey, Chuck. Good morning.
Enjoying your show this morning. And some beautiful weather. It's really, really nice outside.
Oh, great. Good. Well, we haven't found out yet. We're still hiding away in our cave here.
Imagine if the Royal Radio Show used to be on the Black Avenger. From the Black Avenger cave deep in the mountains somewhere. A hidden location. Undisclosed location.
Yeah, exactly. You got it. Well, anyway, what's on your mind today, Chuck?
Well, I've been reading a book by Robert Ringer, Restoring the American Dream, and I appreciate a lot of what he says. He discusses the importance of natural law, which is something that Clarence Thomas adheres to, but it's missing for the most part on the Supreme Court. And he discusses a lot of the other things that have happened, and it kind of explains why things are the way they are. It discusses banking, Federal Reserve, and so forth. Quite an interesting book.
Yeah.
One reason it's applicable to now, even though the book was written back in the late 70s, is that Robert Ringer is planning to speak at a conference coming up, the Advocates for Self-Government. It's having their 20th anniversary celebration in Atlanta this fall.
Oh, okay. Interesting. That's great. So down in Atlanta, when is this going to be? In October, November, something like that?
Something like that. I don't remember the exact date. I'll have to send you the information.
Is he sort of prophetic in his what he's writing 30 years ago or 25 years ago?
I think he was. And he didn't have to be too much of a prophet. He extrapolated from the lost liberties that we're receiving even in the 70s, and of course that's continued.
Yeah. Yeah, we haven't gained any liberties back, have we, despite all the rancor of voting for Republicans and James Dobson supporting, you know, Republicans and so forth. We just haven't got any freer in the last 25 years. In fact, we've become less free on countless scores of policies.
Yeah, and I think a value that comes out of his book and your show is awakening people to that. It's amazing how many people you talk to who don't see it and may even think that you're kind of crazy for thinking that you're not living free.
Yeah, they just don't understand what we used to have in this country. I mean, the fact that you have to actually pay out, you know, half of what you earn through various taxes, and it's not just one tax. I mean, you've got not only the income tax, but you've got Social Security tax, which is a flat tax. You've got the property tax, the sales tax, the licensing tax, the traffic tax, known as traffic tickets, speeding tickets, so forth, and many other things that are paid in on gasoline or excises on you know, like tariffs and things like that as well, all over the place, where you're paying well over half of what you earn every year if you're a typical American in taxes.
That's right. It just goes on and on.
Sure does. Hey, listen, while I've got you on the line, I think that I saw there was an announcement for a Libertarian Party meeting this week. You may know about that. Was it in Spartanburg there was going to be one? Somehow it did not make it to my laptop here, so I don't have it in front of me. Do you know the information and details about that?
That's right. The Spartanburg Party will be meeting in the Beacon in Spartanburg. I believe that's 6:30 on Thursday.
Okay, and the Beacon. People know where that is if they're from Spartanburg, no doubt. I don't know where that is, but it doesn't mean other people don't.
Well, if you get off on, I think it's the first Spartanburg exit, the interstate split there, Highway 26.
Mm-hmm.
And head to the right and just go downtown, and it's right there on the right.
Okay, 6:30 p.m. On Thursday.
Yeah. There's WOEZL Boulevard, one of the main streets there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, very good. Well, I'm glad we got that announcement done. I wanted to make sure people were aware of that event going on tonight. There's no other events going on this week until the Carolina Patriots besides the Spartanburg Libertarian Party. So appreciate that info, Chuck. Well, is there anything else?
I believe that's right. And by the way, the Beacon has a website. That's how I found it before. I just went to their website and had a map and printed the map, and I found it with no trouble.
Okay. Good. Great. Well, I appreciate the call, Chuck. Is there anything else we need to talk about before we go to a break, or do you want to hold on?
Probably not. You have a good day.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Chuck. Appreciate the call. Talk to you soon.
You're welcome.
Bye. And you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll go to a quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
And legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson, check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
If the state sets itself up as the supreme arbiter of human affairs, it must domesticate the individual, lest any lingering remnants of self-reliance weaken the state's authority. The state must resist the individual's effort to follow the dictates of his conscience, lest they conflict with the decrees of Caesar. In the interest of its own safety, the state must eventually deny that the individual is a person, for the individual can be a person only when he puts his obligation to God ahead of his obligation to Caesar. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in the Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 145.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And I should remind you just a couple things going on. One is Rippin' Richie, Sacred Cow Slaughterhouse, the new show on the Tyranny Response Network, now in its second week, is airing every day live from 4:30 p.m. to 6. I hope you'll have an opportunity to listen to the Sacred Cow Slaughterhouse as you're driving home from work from 4:30 to 6 right here on the Tyranny Response Network. In addition to that, I want to remind you, too, to go to tyrannyresponse.com and scroll down under the Related Media tab. You'll find there an online petition you can sign called the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition to Save Your Private Property. Join the 285 people or so who have already signed the petition, and we will hopefully make a statement at some point to the media as well as to Congress, or I should say the legislature of South Carolina, that we want the government to recognize that our rights to life, liberty, and property are inalienable, directly derived from our Creator, and are antecedent to the state. That is, they occurred before there was a government or a state. That government does not give us our rights. It cannot take them away, or should not be able to take them away under American the constitutional principles and the ideas of liberty and the Declaration of Independence. Now, I know the public school has done so much to destroy this notion of liberty, the founders, and instead has replaced it with a more Marxian globalist perspective. But if you can get that out of your mind, if you can scrub your brain just a little bit of these things, these dangling elements of heresy or political heresy that have been ingrained in the American mind, we hope that you'll go to the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition and sign it. It'll take you about 30 seconds. We'd like to get the numbers on the petition growing exponentially throughout the state. Once again, you go to tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net. Both of the links work. And then go to the tab that says Related Media. Scroll down to the bottom, and you'll see under Petitions there where it says South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition, Save Your Private Property. Well, we've got a couple other interesting stories to go over, as usual. Here's one about the religious right's blind praise for John Roberts. Roberts should sicken Christians. Why is the religious right so quick to praise the nomination of John Roberts in spite of how little we know of him? How evil Bush's previous nominations have been. That's a good way to call him, Evil Bush. It's not George Bush. It's Evil Bush. So instead of putting a W on your car bumper sticker, you should put an E for evil. How's that sound? I kind of like that idea. I wonder if somebody will actually go out and do that. Put a little E on the bumper sticker. How evil Bush's previous nominations have been, and Robert's own admission that he'll support Roe versus Wade as settled law. Consider these quotes from Christian leaders. Jay Sekulow from the ACLJ. I think this is a tremendous pick. Richard Land from SBC, the Southern Baptist Convention. I don't know much about John Roberts, but I know a lot about President Bush. President Bush is nominating him. He gets a huge benefit of the doubt from me. Tony Perkins from the FRC. The president is a man of his word. He promised to nominate someone along the lines of Scalia or Thomas, and that is exactly what he has done. Pray tell, Mr. Perkins, have Scalia and or Thomas ever referred to Roe versus Wade as settled law? I highly doubt it. And, of course, that's what Roberts is saying. It's settled law. Can't be, you just need to be followed after now. Well, we'll see if John Roberts is really a suitor, which I believe he probably is. That's my guess of him. Hard to say at this point, but it certainly doesn't strike me as a Scalia or a Thomas, that's for sure. I also have an email from Doug, which is interesting to look at. He says, John, he's giving me an argument about how you can have conspiracy theories, so-called conspiracy theories, or things like the 9/11 bombings carried out by governments, or London bombings, or any other event of cataclysmic nature. He says the argument goes like this. Premise: a democracy elects a delusional leader that has a diabolical agenda, who is without moral or social conscience. Without considering any facts, is it possible for such a leader to use that same democratic state to commit atrocities while in office? What would it take for a democratic leader to create an institution leading to the declaration of war on false pretense? Here are the conditions necessary. A. Healthy economy, people employed and prosperous, a nation occupied. B. Opportunity for distraction, movies, sports, news, entertainment, a nation preoccupied. These two create an environment where the public prefers things to stay the same. C. It is assumed that the public must be given a plausible excuse for war, and the creation of that plausible excuse requires conspiracy. A loyal inner circle is necessary. Secretary of State or Joint Chiefs of Cry Wolf. The public will be forced to look at the situation. D. The media needs to be controlled by cohesion, not likely, but by controlling demand, more likely. The press will not continue to present an unpopular message to its market. E. The need to make discussion of conspiracy unpopular or dangerous. F. Needs to control information gathering, or at least its interpretation. G. Assuming war takes place, the vanquished need to be muted. They will know the truth, and it cannot be given a voice. H. A need to protect the leaders, president in particular, from assassination, by fanatics who are possessed of the truth and inclined to do something about it. J. Need to align the message of the party with a credible statement of society, moral, family, Christian values, or scientists, popular movie stars, credibility by association. K. You need to win the war you start so you can write the history. L. You need to arrange provocation, the easy part. So, is it possible for a sitting president to arrange this? I think compared to the powerful men that Kennedy killed, that had Kennedy killed and put their front man LBJ into office, this is an order of magnitude more difficult. However, all the same things were required for the Kennedy assassination, and more on feasibility later. So he's basically saying, yes, George Bush or somebody behind George Bush could have pulled off the 9/11 bombings, and actually it wasn't a complete terrorist strike. It had something to do with our government being involved. Well, we'd like to hear from you, see what you think about that. Appreciate Doug writing in his logic here. It does seem to be quite interesting, the things he set forth, but it is quite a conspiracy, quite a plan to be able to come up with such a thing. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Be glad to hear from your phone calls again, 864-244-8177, 864-201-6955, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
There is a place for government in the affairs of men, and our Declaration of Independence tells us precisely what that is. The role of government is to protect individuals in their God-given individual rights. Freedom is the natural birthright of man, but all that government can do in behalf of freedom is to let the individual alone, and it should secure him his rights by making others let him alone. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 142.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. I want to remind you also of one announcement. Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find they are regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at the library on Malden Road between the Old Stadium and Lawrence Road. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, join us for the Libertarian Underground at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's at Cafe Underground, just off Main Street downtown. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. And we're glad that the Libertarian supports us, and we're happy to have them on board with us and in supporting this great effort to promote liberty in the land of upstate South Carolina as well as around the world. We're going to be going around the world shortly, as every year I get invited to speak somewhere in the world, usually either somewhere in Europe or in South America, on a particular topic of interest to those who love liberty. This year I've been invited to be one of the key speakers at a meeting in Lima, Peru, which is going to be entitled something like Free Markets, Bible, and Government. And we're looking forward to making that presentation there to 150 folks in that country, that poor enslaved country of Peru, who is suffering under the dictatorial edicts of the various presidents and so forth there, the people that are ruling. And, of course, they love liberty, too, and they want to be free. They yearn to have what America had so long ago, and now people take for granted at best and even scorn. We're trying to rekindle and light the fires of liberty here in the upstate. If it's possible, it's hard to undo all that public school indoctrination, especially when we have so many people who are Christians talking about how good the public school really is, or how it can be redeemed, or how Christians have a good place there, and how Christians can be salt and light. Folks, we are never going to win the battle for truth and liberty so long as the public school is thought about in such terms. It has to be shown for what it is by Christian pastors and people that are in Christian colleges teaching. They need to show, or anywhere for that matter, they need to show the diabolical nature of the public school, that it's an evil, non-transformable institution that Christians should have nothing to do with, that it's been our greatest enemy in pulling down the truths of the Bible as well as the principles of liberty and the founding fathers that made this nation so great. So let's be careful to recognize who our enemy is and not continue to coddle it and support our enemy, as so many are prone to do in this day and age, sad to say. Well, here's an article on, let's see, I have time for this article, Protectionism and Unemployment. Let's read this. This is actually from the March 1985 Freeman, The Ideas on Liberty. It's by Hans Senholz. I'll just read a couple of quotations from here. Despite all the opposition to change, he said, the world is a scene of changes. Today is not yesterday. We ourselves change, as do our thoughts and works. Change may be painful, yet ever needful. The worldwide pattern of division of labor may change, which affects the structure of trade and commerce. The cost of production may change, either here or abroad, which may create competitive advantages or disadvantages. After all, foreign trade is merely an extension of domestic trade. We should all know that, by the way, there is no difference between foreign and domestic change as far as economics are concerned. It's only a matter of how we deal with protectionism, that is, as we set up artificial boundaries for a trade to occur according to political structures. Most of the arguments in favor of restriction stem from the distant past. Many are crudely what we call mercantilistic. They favor exports and oppose imports. Mercantilists are concerned about the unfavorable balance of trade, which they believe inflicts loss and waste. In the past, they restricted imports and promoted exports in order to bring money into the country. The neo-mercantilists of our time favor exports or bringing jobs in profits and oppose imports or taking them out. Mercantilist nations, although discarded by most economists, live on, or notions, not nations, although discarded by most economists, live on regardless of the criticism levied against them. The neo-mercantilism of the 1970s and 1980s differs from the 1930s in two important respects. It's devoid of the blatant nationalism of the first half of the century and its beggar-my-neighbor attitude, but it is saturated with the notions and doctrines of full employment by government fiat. It does not spring from international confrontation, but from an inter-industry conflict that pits some industries against others. And in the American steel industry, for example, capital and labor together conspire to restrict imports and to boost corporate earnings and labor benefits. Embarrassed by the low rates of production and the high rates of unemployment, they both call on government to restrain competition in any shape or form. And this is a problem. Protectionism also draws strength and support from the Keynesian mandate that a government is responsible for full employment and that it must use its fiscal powers in a contra-cyclical manner. That's a hard word. Contra-cyclical manner. When Keynesian efforts succeeded in raising goods prices, domestic producers suffer in competitiveness at home and abroad. Our notions in new garb is what his topic is. We're going to read this when we get back from the break. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
As long as the state, the agency of coercion, stands over society offering to dispense economic privilege to those who pay it homage, conferring an advantage on some men at the expense of other men, the misuse of political power should be the first line of attack for the moralist. It is inevitable that political privilege will be used in this way if it is available and begging to be used. No people has ever resisted it who have been led into this temptation. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 84.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you joined us this morning. Hope to hear from you soon as you give us a call, either 864-244-8177 or 864-201-6955. Right now, we wanted to check on the weather in case you're still traveling to work.
Right now in the Greenville-Spartanburg Airport area, it's 72 degrees, and downtown it's 71 degrees. Anderson, 71, also Clemson, 71. Today, it's partly cloudy, patchy fog this morning, highs in the lower 90s, the northeast winds are around 5 miles per hour.
And we've been reading this fine article back, it's actually 20 years old, but it still has relevance today, about protectionism. You know, how often do we hear that America's a debtor nation, and this is a bad thing? Folks, I know there are some free market economists who really think this is actually a problem. But or even economists in general, but most that I know do not see it as a great problem. You know, all a debtor nation means it's a derogatory term assigned to the fact that we have greater number of imports than we do of exports. So what? What that essentially means is we, outside of our political boundaries, we bring in goods and services in a greater quantity than we actually give out. But there's not really necessarily a problem with this. Let's suppose that we want to buy, coffee beans or rubber or sugar or any other kind of raw material that we might use in our production of things here, and we can't get enough of it here at the best price, so we buy it from overseas. Why is that a problem? We're still producing the greatest amount of output of any country in the world. We still have the most productive labor force. And if we use the raw materials from overseas, it shouldn't be a problem to us. There's nothing compels those people to buy back from us because we buy the raw materials. They may be too poor to afford the high-quality goods and services that we have. There's nothing that should say, well, they have to buy back from us, otherwise we're a debtor nation and we're somehow worse off for it. Just not true. If you go down and shop at the grocery store and buy a sack of groceries regularly, and then take them home and use them for your family, do you then expect that the grocer has to buy the goods and services that you provide in your business in order to make a fair deal? I think Walter Williams had a column on this not too long ago. But are you a debtor nation, so to speak, because the grocer gets all of your money and you get none of his? I mean, it's really nonsense, theoretically, to have this whole concept of the debtor nation. Our political boundaries are arbitrary. People in an economic world simply buy in the cheapest market and sell in the dearest market. That's the way it works. And there's nothing wrong with having more imports than exports. I can't see any reason why there'd be anything wrong with it. Now, some people have a problem, and this is a different issue, with trading with countries that are immoral or communist, places like mainland China. Now, that is an entirely different issue when you say, well, we don't want to trade with people who are doing evil things. Of course, they have to remember that America also does evil things to begin with. But secondly, we also want to remember that the poor Chinese people that suffer under communist totalitarian regimes are not necessarily in alignment or happy with the current government status of China. And by punishing them, the people who actually produce something, you don't necessarily punish the government of China or the state of China. What you might end up actually doing is just hurting the people who are trying to revolt against their government there at some point. Who knows? There is no necessary connection that by hurting Chinese entrepreneurs, you're going to end up hurting the Chinese state or the Chinese government. But that is an argument that can be made, and it is different from the whole idea of mercantilism and protectionism in general. Well, I'm going to read a little bit more from Hans Senholt's article here. He says, protectionism also draws strength and support from the Keynesian mandate that government is responsible for full employment and that it must use its fiscal powers in a contra-cyclical manner. When Keynesian efforts succeed in raising goods prices, domestic producers suffer in competitiveness at home and abroad. The old nations, in new garb, the labor movement and its Keynesian allies like to parade as champions of the less developed countries, but many immediately draw the line when jobs are exported, as if it's somehow different. And by the way, I'm using this word Keynesian. Some of this jargon may not be familiar to you. A Keynesian is one who follows John Maynard Keynes. John Maynard Keynes was the gradualist or semi-socialist in the American during the American Great Depression, who came actually he's a British, but he became famous for his way to get out of the Depression by using government debt and spending programs. He's just another socialist, and so they call the followers of Keynesians, and you spell that K-E-Y-N-E-S. That's how you pronounce it, Keynes, even though it's spelled K-E-Y-N-E-S. Economic restrictions always benefit some people at the expense of others. That's true. Hans Senholz is absolutely right. There is no way that you can look at it any other way. If you have an economic restriction on one group, it's to benefit somebody else, and the political process is the only way you can accomplish it. The methods of restriction may vary greatly, from monetary extractions to outright confiscation of private property, and demand high correction through protection. Unemployment undoubtedly is the greatest social evil that concerns all of us. We all need to have a job, certainly, but many workingmen welcome trade restrictions in the same way they welcome or greet the breakdown and destruction of labor-saving tools and appliances. They shouldn't be doing that, because it actually improves our economy to have those kinds of appliances. He says unemployment always visits that labor the cost of which exceeds its productivity. In other words, if you're not going to be very productive, you're going to get unemployed. That makes some sense. To come to the rescue and grant them protection from foreign competition is to invite new restriction and more unemployment. That's what protectionism does. It protects those who are unworthy competitors, people who don't do a good job or ineffective, inefficient producers. Those kind of people are rewarded by protectionism. They stay in business, and consumers suffer by paying higher prices. Senholz is right on the money on this thing. It's significant that governments generally do not protect industries with relatively low rates of productivity and wages, and industries with a great deal of unskilled labor. They usually like to protect their friends, that's why, people who have powerful unions and voting blocs. There is a transcendent power in example. U.S. leadership, international policymaking may be slipping because the U.S. example is unconvincing. Well, I want to skip down through a little bit more of this article, not a whole lot here. The federal aid program to mass transit systems requires only American materials be used. This is rather stupid. Why should we do such a thing? A recent study estimated 1980 costs of more than $58 billion or $255 per American consumer. They probably have more than doubled since then. Its cost to American workers in form of lower labor productivity and higher rates of unemployment can only be surmised. Protectionism merely exacerbates the problems in society. It does not help them. We need to be careful of this, folks. Exporting jobs, this whole business about losing jobs to Mexico or anywhere else because of true free trade, is a myth. Now, we're talking about free trade agreements like CAFTA, which really have nothing to do with free trade. It's a totally different story. But in terms of the actualities or the outworkings of truly free markets and people being able to export labor and import labor and export goods and import goods, the freer the better. Why? Because consumers benefit the most, and that's ultimately what we want the economic system to do, is provide the greatest benefit to consumers by providing the highest quality at the lowest cost. That's ultimately what we're after in an economic system. And you've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're a little late for a break, but we'll jump to it now, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
If the state sets itself up as the supreme arbiter of human affairs, it must domesticate the individual, lest any lingering remnants of self-reliance weaken the state's authority. The state must resist the individual's effort to follow the dictates of his conscience, lest they conflict with the decrees of Caesar. In the interest of its own safety, the state must eventually deny that the individual is a person, for the individual can be a person only when he puts his obligation to God ahead of his obligation to Caesar. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in the Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 145.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we want to remind you, our friends at the Times Examiner. The Times Examiner is the conservative voice of the Palmetto State. Are you tired of reading liberal columnists? The Times Examiner features outstanding conservative and libertarian columnists, including Dr. Coben, Dr. Walter Williams, Dr. Thomas Sowell, Dr. Marvin Olasky, Ben Graydon, Joe Sobrin, Phyllis Schlafly, Charlie Reese, and contributions from the homeschooling Sheen family. The Times Examiner supports home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, private property rights, gun ownership, Christian values, and our great Southern heritage. You can pick up a copy of the Times Examiner at newsstands around Greenville, South Carolina, or at the office. Their office is located at 44 Pine Knoll Drive. A full-year subscription to the Times Examiner is only $25 in-state and $27 out-of-state. Call 864-268-0576 to get your subscription started. That's 864-268-0576. So inexpensive and well worth reading all these great columnists and so forth that are there. You can also put an ad in the Times Examiner if you have a business that wants to increase your market share. Give David a call specifically. Ask for him, 864-859-6817. That's 864-859-6817, and ask for David, and he can help you put an ad in the Times Examiner. Will, we have an article that's been sitting on my email for some time that the Tyranny Response Network's research staff sent up some time ago. The Genius of Ruby Goldberg. This is an article that appeared on LouRockwell.com, written by Jeffrey A. Tucker, well-known, at least in circles of free market economists, well-known individual. Everyone has heard something described as Ruby Goldberg's machine. Ruby Goldberg as a Ruby, described as a Rube Goldberg machine, a Ruby Goldberg machine. And most of us know what this means, some crazy, convoluted way of accomplishing a task that would otherwise be quite simple. That's how Webster's defines it. The phrase most often applies to overly complicated software, but it was also applied to the Clinton health care plan and might also be applied to the emerging Social Security reform. How fascinating, then, to discover the man and legend behind it and to reflect on his remarkable turn of mind and the light it sheds on the world around us. Reuben Goldberg, born 1883 in San Francisco, the son of Hannah and Max Goldberg, who had immigrated from Prussia and lived in New York before moving west. Ruby studied to be an engineer and then did that for a while until he could convince his father that his avocation as a cartoonist should be his profession. Ruby worked in San Francisco and later in New York, and long after a wonderful life as a genius cartoonist, but also as a writer, actor, and sculptor. Even aside from his contraptions, He was popular for his long-running series called Foolish Questions, which was turned into a board game. He made animated cartoons and wrote short stories, too. He received the Pulitzer Prize and died in 1970. But, of course, it was his cartoon inventions that made his name. A book called Inventions, New York, Simon Schuster, 2000, collects his most famous material, mostly consisting of the hilarious and overcomplicated machinery to accomplish simple tasks like turning a page of music or emptying out sand from shoes or closing a window and swatting a fly or prevent the dinner plate from sliding onto the dining room of a rocking boat. In a goofy sort of way, his work celebrates the inventor and innovator and the problem-solving spirit. All of it was justly popular during the so-called Age of Invention and seems to have experienced a revival today. But there is an edge here, too. Goldberg's work ridicules intellectualism unhinged from the market test. As Rothbard wrote about entrepreneurship and Stephen Carson recently elaborated, it is not enough to merely to conjure up an idea. An idea must be backed by real property, but at risk in the real world and subject to the market test. Innovation alone does not make for progress. It is innovation with the framework of the market economy that serves society. The sheer goofy genius of Goldberg's work also illustrates a Hayekian theme, that's from Friedrich Hayek, by the way, of the era of rationalism detached from reality. Society works not because a single mastermind has preset all the moving parts. It works because people find ways to cooperate through private actions that follow signs and rules that cannot be anticipated, but nonetheless can be coordinated. Society and its workings cannot be mapped out, and the attempt to do so can create frameable images, but not civilizations. Each Goldberg contraption takes a few minutes to figure out, as the cartoonist explains to the reader the workings of each part. There is always at least one implausible step that will guarantee failure in real life, but that's also the fun. Sometimes it involves supposing that people will do something they are not likely to do, an Arabia dwarf acrobat reaching for a trapeze at the right moment. For example, sometimes it involves a problem of timing, thinking here of his fire extinguisher that depends at a crucial point on a frog's leg motions moving a knife that cuts a chain. Sometimes the whole thing is obviously nuts from the very outset. A good example is the latest simple fly swatter. Carbonic acid, A drops on string, B causing it to break and release elastic of bean shooter, C which projects ball, D into a bunch of garlic, E causing the ball to fall in the syrup can, F and splash syrup violently against the wall, fly, G buzzes with glee and goes for syrup, his favorite dish, butler dog, H mistakes hum of fly's wing for door buzzer and runs to meet visitor, pulling rope, I, which turns to stop-go signal, J, and causes baseball bat, K, to sock fly, who falls onto floor unconscious. As fly drops to floor, pet trout, L, jumps for him, misses, and lands in net, M, weight of fishes forces shoe, N, down fallen by fly, and puts him out of the running for all time. And this is a really goofy-looking cartoon when you read it here, or when you're looking at it here on the, as I am. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll continue with Ruby Goldberg's article when we get back.
You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems.
PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
There is a place for government in the affairs of men, and our Declaration of Independence tells us precisely what that is. The role of government is to protect individuals in their God-given individual rights. Freedom is the natural birthright of man, but all that government can do in behalf of freedom is to let the individual alone, and it should secure him his rights by making others let him alone. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 142.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. I want to remind you that on Thursday and Friday this week, what we're hoping to do is have an extra special show at the end of the Christian Worldview show from 9 to 9:30 or 9:45. We're going to have a Spanish edition of Christian Worldview, and it'll be led by and hosted by me with my less than perfect Spanish, to say the least, but as a prelude to my conference that I'll be holding on free markets, Bible, and government in Lima, Peru. We'll be having a special edition of Christian Worldview on Thursday and Friday. So if you have any Spanish-speaking friends, have them tune in either to the webcast or to the on the radio station on FM to listen to Christian Worldview in Spanish from 9 to 9:45 on Thursday and Friday this week. Well, we've been reading Ruby Goldberg's article here, and we want to continue on. What surprised me, he said, though it should not have, was that to discover Mr. Goldberg seems to have been very solid on politics, too. All the drawings in the politics section show government as the most complicated and workable machinery of all, that nonetheless does accomplish its primary goal of giving some people power at other people's expense. In fact, he has a drawing below where it shows exactly the design of central planning and how it actually destroys certain human beings to benefit the few workers on the machine. Goldberg's art exhibits a disdain for supposed experts who have an inflated sense of their own mastery. The class that presumes to rob people for their own good comes under social scrutiny. Thus did Goldberg not spare the state and its minions. Taxes in particular, low by the standards of our time, came in for hard knocks under his pen. Here, a laughing gas is applied in order to keep the working from noticing how much the government is taking from them. Shows a guy with a paycheck, and it actually has all the deductions there, so that he ends up owing the company 2 cents after they deduct all the things out of his paycheck. How charming to discover that the web is an official Ruby Goldberg website. It's at RUBE-. Goldberg, GOLDBERG.com, Ruby-Goldberg.com, and you can see all his writings and stuff there, drawings there, and that there's an annual Ruby Goldberg machine contest at Purdue University, and also one for high school students. You don't need to submit or attend to enjoy Goldberg's genius. The book Inventions will keep you busy for months, or you can examine many machines at RubyGoldberg.com. Sounds like a fun place to go. And anyway, you've been listening to Christian Worldview this morning with Dr. John Coben. Glad that you have. We're about 1 minute away from the show close. I thought I'd just remind you quickly about tyrannyresponse.com, that you can go to that website and get information on all the events that I've been mentioning here, or all the related associated articles and periodicals. Go there and check it out, because tyrannyresponse.com will keep you informed on what's happening here in the upstate of South Carolina and the great radio shows that we have on the Tyranny Response Network. Remember, Rich and Richie Williams, Sacred Cow Slaughterhouse, is at 4:30 to 6 o'clock live in the afternoon. Hope you can listen to that. And also go and check out the audio portion of the tyrannyresponse.com website, because there you'll find the Liberty Minutes programs. We're adding yet another program today, or sometime if Richie gets a chance to put it up there, on the public policy theology of enslavement. Do you feel like you're enslaved as an American, paying taxes and being regulated and licensed and so forth? Well, I think you probably are enslaved as a part-time slave. What does the Bible say that you have to do as a response to that? It's an interesting piece for you to listen to. Check out the audio section. There's a whole lot of teaching material there for you to learn about the Christian view of public policy and a Christian worldview. Thanks for listening this morning to Christian Worldview. Look forward to seeing you here tomorrow again for another great edition of Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Until then, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.